Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Oh, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord. Stephen, thank you for that word today, this morning, that the Lord gave you, and thank you for delivery. It's so gracious. And we want to talk to you today about some things that children of promise facing the giants. But before I do that, I want to let me tell you the subtitle. You ready for the subtitle? Yikes, we have ites. We're going to be talking about the ites. We had talked about that briefly, had mentioned it really during the thing about honor. But let's pray that the Lord will speak to our hearts today, that will put us in a frame of life that will push back against any of the enemies that comes to us to remove us from receiving God's promises and His fulfillment of them. You know, but we'll talk about what the names of these fellows mean, and some of their history and how they operated. But let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning. Lord, we've already felt your presence. And early this morning, we already felt your presence. We felt your presence today. And we just want to say thank you for being here. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Use the remainder of our time together as a people gathered in your name. Lord, may we sense your food that you want to feed us. May we indulge in it. May we swallow it whole. Let us be able to completely be absorbed in what you have to say today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we get into that, I want to set a little bit of the stage for you concerning the ites. Here, this is out of Romans 8. It says, "So then, brethren, we are under obligation," so there is an obligation, but we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. "For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die, but if by the Spirit," so we're not under obligation to the flesh, but we are under obligation to the Spirit. "Now, you putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." If you're being led by the Spirit of God, what are you? Sons of God. "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again." There is a spirit of slavery that enslaves people, and it can enslave Christians. But here it says, you have not received it. Don't receive it. But if you do receive it, you'll be fearful. See, slavery will take you to fear. Being in bondage will take you to be afraid, take you into this fear. And he said, "But you are the spirit of adoption. You've received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father." Say, "Abba, Father." Abba. Now say, "Daddy, Father." Daddy. Say, "Papa, Father." Abba. "Papa, Father." "Abba, Father." The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are. What are you? If you know Jesus, Jesus is in your heart, you are the children of God. And then on down in Romans, it says this, and we know, this we know, we should know this. We know that God causes all things to work together to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. What is his purpose? The next verse. "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son." That's God's purpose for your life. Okay, become Christ-like, become like his son. Here, verse 31, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us?" So you say that, say it out loud. Who can be against us? "But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us." Amen? Amen, look at this one. "It is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the," say it out loud. "Children of promise." Everybody say, "Children of promise." Children of promise. It's the children of promise who are regarded as descendants. If you're a Christian, you're a child of promise. We're children of promise. We have a promise land. We have a land full of promises. Right? Just like the enemy had giants and had the things opposing them, we have the opposition as well. Then in Galatians chapter 4, verse 28, it says, "And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise." Turn to the neighbor and say, "You're a child of promise." Now turn the other way and tell them. They didn't hear. You're a child of promise. So that sets the stage for being a children of promise. Being a people of promise. God's promises. That's the land in which we see. It's about kingdom. Where are the promises? In the kingdom. Everything that he's promised you is a yes and amen. All right, so we go to this thing about children of promise. We're children of promise facing the giants. Now, we talked the other week about concerning honor. We talked about the descendants of Ham. It was Noah's children that Ham, he walked in, gazed upon his father's drunken nakedness and went out. And see, the Bible didn't say he looked, but he gazed. He stared at it. He looked at it and looked at it. And then went out and told others, told his brothers, but he went out and told others. The other brothers got the blanket, if you remember that, got the blanket or the cloth and put it over each other's shoulders and backed in until they saw his feet, and then they dropped it. So they walked in, they covered. Now, they honored, and we talked about honor. And we have been talking about honor for several weeks. But I think it bears witness that we need to learn how to do this. Because this is big in the kingdom. It's big in God's eyes. It truly, truly is. But then we talked about that because of that, Ham received a curse or was declared to be a slave to other slaves and slaves to his brothers. So slavery was declared to be upon him, and that's how he's going to live his life. And we also talked to you about that from Ham came, and that was on that was pronounced on his younger son, Canaan. He was the youngest son, and that was pronounced on his youngest son. And from Canaan came all the ites, but the termites. He didn't have those. He didn't produce those, but he produced all these ites. And sorry about that. It just comes out, but. But anyway, so you see that because of dishonor, you impact generations to become enemies of God. That really needs to sink in, that we need to learn the culture of honor, God's culture of honor. We need to learn how, not just about it, but how to do it. So it doesn't mean you agree with people. It doesn't mean you have to say yes and yes and shake on it. No, it's about honoring the person, a creature that God created. And once we get that, once we understand that it's God's creation that you're standing before, and that person deserves to be honor is given. Trust is earned. Trustworthiness is earned. Okay? So we begin to see this, and we'll go back just one thing here. It says, this is out of Deuteronomy, and this is what he said to the children of Israel. So when the Lord your God shall bring you into the land where you're entering to possess it, and shall clear away many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you. See, God said you're gonna face some things as you go into the promised land. Then he says, and when the Lord your God shall deliver them, he will deliver them to you. I had to think about that for a moment. And I'm saying, God, why would you deliver them to me? Well, when he delivers them, they're already whooped. And for those of you that don't know whooped, that means whipped. That means defeated. you know, in his eyes. He said, but when he's delivered them before you, you shall defeat them. And they shall utter, and then you shall utterly destroy them. See, all of these enemies, we don't have the physical enemies in the kingdom. We have spiritual enemies. We don't fight flesh and blood, right? We don't fight somebody flesh and blood as a Christian. We fight spiritually. All of these are going from the natural over into the spiritual realm with us because they're still here today. They're still active in darkness today, making us think things and do things that we shouldn't think and do. But he says, I'm going to deliver them before you, and you shall defeat them. That's a good word. Whatever enemy that God brings into your path, he said, you're capable of defeating them. Whatever that is, you're capable of defeating it. Why? Because he has enabled you. He's done that, and he's delivered them to you so you can show forth the power of God in defeating what's coming at you. Y'all okay with that? Okay. I'm very okay with that. You know, I really am. So you look at this thing. So you may be asking yourself, well, why did God leave any enemies? Why didn't he just get rid of all of them? And we wouldn't be sharing this message today. If he just got rid of all of them, just get rid of all of them, Lord. Just get rid of all of them. Why did he leave any? Well, there's a reason. The Bible answers that. You ready to hear it? Here it is. These are the nations of the Lord left to test all of the Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. They're here to train you and I up. They don't know it. The enemy thinks they're here to defeat us, but we're going to win. We win the battle. The battle belongs to the Lord, and we're in him, and he's in us, and we win. But he said, they're here to make you stronger in your character in order to be able to fight spiritually. Now, them was fight physically, but for us, it's to fight spiritually. To be able to come and see, we get the spiritual things that come at us, and we're able to grow in strength and take them out. We're able to grow in strength and take them out. How about you guys? Y'all guys excited about that? Okay, great. I am too, and I know you guys are. So, but in verse 4 of Judges 3 says this, they were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands, which he had given their forefathers through Moses. See, we have these promises and these commands, these things that's in this book, that he says, I'm going to test to see if you're going to obey them. You know, when we begin to have these things, we begin to face these things, we don't fully understand, because we always ask, why is this happening? Why it's happening is because he's making us stronger, and he's teaching us how to walk in the strength of his might, being enabled by him, because we're following the commandments of God. We learned that the other week, but following the commandments of God in honor, and because of that, we're able to be empowered by him to defeat them, empowered by him to overcome them, empowered by him to be able to stand against any scheme. Say any scheme. It doesn't matter what scheme the enemy has, doesn't matter what plan, what trick, whatever it is, you and I are able, in following the Lord and walking with the Lord, we are enabled by his Spirit to be able to stand against any of it and all of it. Any attack. Say any attack. Any attack. I mean spiritually and physically. Any attack. Okay. I'm ready to shout. How about you? I'm like, listen, this is doing me so good. It really is. It's doing me so good. that I know that when this message is over and my life continues, there's enemies that are waiting on me just because of this message. And there's attacks just because of this message. But guess what? I'm just being made stronger. Amen. Just like you. You're being made stronger in Him to be able to learn how to fight like He fights. How to dwell in this earth as He dwelled in this earth. In the fullness of His God. In the fullness of His being. And He's teaching us how to do that. He's teaching you how to do that. So when you round the corner and there's an enemy, there's a suddenly. You know, the Bible says, do not be afraid of sudden fear. Amen. What does that mean? It means fear came suddenly. In other words, it wasn't here until now. He said, don't be afraid of that. So if a sudden thing happens, don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. Why? He said, I'm with you. I've never left you. I've never forsaken you, and I won't. No matter what you see, no matter what you go through, no matter what you face, I'm with you. And I am teaching you, and I am training you, I am equipping you to be a mighty warrior against the darkness. Okay, so let's see if we can get through some of these ites. You remember, they sent 12 spies out, Moses did, and, you know, 10 of them had a bad report about God. They saw them and said, oop, they're giants. They're huge. We are not, this is their words, we are not able to overtake them. So that's a bad report on God. God said what? Go take them. Go take the land. Go into this land. It's full of everything that you'll need and more. The fullness of prosperity is there. Oh, we can't do it. They're too big. And matter of fact, they're so big, we're like grasshoppers to them. And so are we in their eyes. Now, Caleb didn't like that. Caleb didn't like them. Neither did Joshua. They didn't like that message. And they understood that. Yet we are able to take them. It is a good land. It is good. It's great. Man, they got grapes over there. It takes two men to carry one cluster. That's, you know, if you go to Ingles and find one of them, call me. I'll come help you. I'll bring a stick and we'll haul them grapes out of there. I don't know how much it'll cost in today's economy. But that's pretty big. That's pretty good sized grapes. Caleb is saying, look, let's go get it. Let's go get it. And then the people rose up and they wanted to stone Caleb and Joshua. Look, let's quieten these dudes. Get the rocks and let's go. Let's get rid of them. See, there's a lesson in here. The person who is carrying the word from God is the one that will be the most resisted. So if you're carrying a word from God, understand there's going to be resistance. There's going to be resistance in your own camp sometimes. In your own people sometimes. In your own family sometimes. Are y'all hearing me? You know, so there's a lesson to be learned in this, but he said you keep on. So they had to stay out in that desert another 40 years or 440 years, finish out the 40 years. So here they are, they can't even get in it. Here's the promised land, it's just a walk away. We can't get in it. Why? Because we accepted what the enemy said about us and about God. So what is the enemy saying about you that you cannot do? That you're not able to do? What is the enemy saying about your God that he cannot do? He can do the impossible. Say impossible. See, he can do the impossible. We need to let him do the impossible. We need to call on him to do the impossible. Lord, this is impossible for me, but it's not for you. This is impossible for me. It's not for you. Nothing's impossible. Nothing's impossible. All right, so we go on and we look at this thing and we have these eyes. Now, these are the first ones that they came to, and this is the ones that they saw when they went back and started telling all this stuff. You know, so Anakites, it came from Anak, which means, watch this, which means to choke or to strangle. This enemy, Anak, wants to choke or to strangle the very promise of God from you. It wants to suffocate you where you cannot breathe in what God wants you to breathe in. So this enemy will fight to choke out your living in God. They can't take your salvation. No, they can't take your salvation, but they can keep you from going forward just by your choosing. So understand, when you feel like there's a stranglehold on you, you got this enemy that you're facing, and you begin to rise up against that. You begin to quote, and you begin to say the word of God to that, and begin to replace it with the truth. Defeat it with the word of God, by the Spirit of God. And he had three sons, Ammon, which means to block or to hinder. So now you've got something that wants to block you from going forward. One wants to choke you or smother you so you can't breathe in what God wants you to breathe in. And then you've got this thing that wants to block you, which is, no, you're going this way, I'm going to go this way too. So it wants to block and to hinder your progress in God. So these are enemies. This is Anak's son, one of them. And then Sheshai means to whiten or to whitewash. What does that mean? Whitewash. It means to paint up in order to deceive what's behind the paint up. To whitewash so you don't see what's really under the whitewash. It's to make something look better than it really, really is. Boy, this really looks good. This really looks good. I remember one time somebody came and said, "Listen, I got this thing here that if you can just invest some money, you can do this, and the payback in this is almost 20%." Boy, I said, "Give me my where's my wallet? Where's my checkbook? But I said, I had a check. I had a just check in my spirit. Y'all know what that is? You just had a check about it. I got a check about this. And then I think about it and I pray about it. And then Brenda looks and says, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I'm not going to do it." She said, "You're not?" And I said, No, I don't have any peace on it. No peace. I don't have any peace on it. So I've learned in my life, unless I have peace, I'm not moving. If I've got peace, I might not know what's around the corner, but I'll go with peace. So I said, "No, I can't do it." You know, because you know, then I said, "This is a whitewash. There's something behind this that ain't as good as it looks on the outside." And I didn't do it. And it wasn't just a few months later, it was a Ponzi scheme and it all fell apart. Now, I thank God for that check. But if I'm motivated by greed, if I'm motivated by money, if I'm motivated by wealth, I'm going to overlook that check and write that check. Are you hearing me? So we can easily be drawn away by things that God ain't in. Even though it looks like, wow, this would be great. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So we have to watch out for Sheshai. So watch out for the whitewash. And then you have to, then Talma is to heap up, to accumulate for self. In other words, there's a heaping up of the water, but the water's only for me. There's a heaping up of material things, but the material things are only for me. Are y'all hearing me? There's an accumulation of things, but the accumulation is only for me. See, it's a selfishness that goes way beyond helping others because it's only concerned about me. So this is the enemies that they saw when they went back. And then the Lord tells them, he said, you've got all these others here. You got all these others. You know, let's look at this. Goliath was a descendant of the Anakites. He was a descendant, even though he was a Philistine, he was a descendant of that bloodline. You know what that tells me? That spirit is also against the very prosperity of God's people. And it will fight to try to keep you away from it. It will rise up and intimidate, trying to keep you away from entering into God's fullness. See, we think God's fullness is just our coffers are just full of everything. No, that's not God's fullness. God's fullness is right here. Right here. That's God's fullness right here. When we're full here, when we're filled with the Spirit, when we're overflowing with His presence, you can have nothing and be prosperous. A prosperity gospel that teaches only about money cannot be taught, cannot be preached in a third world country. Anyway, okay. All right, so let's get the Hittites, to fear, to dread, to and terror, bring violence and confusion. So, have you ever had any Hittites to come at you? Let me get some of these notes unraveled here. Yeah, fear, violence, and it comes against your insecurity. The Bible says, "Do not fear sudden fear. Do not be afraid of sudden fear." We talked about that. He said, "Nor the onslaught of the wicked." When it comes, don't fear the onslaught of the wicked. He didn't say if it comes. He said when it comes. Don't fear it. Man, the warfare is tremendous. Yeah, the growth is more than that. Anyway. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. The Lord is your confidence. And keep your foot from being caught. The fear of man will prove to be a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord, He will keep them safe. Do you trust in the Lord today? This verse says He'll keep you safe. He'll keep you from being caught by the foot. Okay, 2 Timothy says this. God has not given you the spirit of fear. But what has He given? Power, love, and a sound mind. What has God given you? What has God given you? What has He not given you? What has He given you? You need to memorize that. Okay. I remember the passage in the Bible that talks about Saul when he became, they announced him to be king, and they're going to present him to the people. You remember what he did? He went and hid in the luggage department. He found all the luggage, where all the baggage was, and he hid. He's already been anointed king. People wanted him, and he was anointed king, but he went and hid in the luggage. See, there's a lot of things that God's calling us to, and we're still hiding in the baggage. We're still afraid to come out because we're unsure about what's going to happen. I'm telling you, the baggage is not going to help you. It's just a bunch of stuff. So don't hide in the midst of your stuff. I'll be safe at home because that's where all my stuff is. Sorry. God knows where you are. And He'll send somebody after you. I know He'll send somebody after you. He sent somebody after me, hiding in the luggage, hiding in the baggage, just hiding out until God says, go get him. and I was gotten, found. But anyway, this thing about insecurities will knock us out. All right, next one is Girgashites, dwellers of the clay-like soil, dwellers of the marsh. These people are shaky. They do not have a foundation. They're not founded people. In other words, they will be this way today, and they will be this way tomorrow. And you wait another day, and they will be this way. It's just, they're just shaky. They're just all over. They don't have a sound footing, but yet they have a voice. So the enemy said, watch out for people that are walking on shaky ground, and that spirit, they can't ever settle down. This is what this Girgashite thing is about, and it's about compromise. It's about halfway. I'll do this much, but I won't do the rest of it. I'll do this, but I'm not going to commit to do that. Have you ever run into that spirit? You ever run into that enemy? I'll do this, Lord, but I don't want to do that. I'll say, yeah, I mean, one of the things I started out in my older Christian life and my teenager life was that I got saved when I was 8, but it was back in the teenage life. I was saying, Lord, I'll follow you, but I don't want to go to Africa. I'm just being honest. I'll go to church, I'll do that, but don't send me on a mission trip. None of you's ever done that, I know, but I have. See, what is that? That's compromise. God don't have all of me. Why? I'm holding something back. So I see people fanning. And I'm hot. So can we get the air cut on? Take it off of heat and put it on there. Say, what is that? Double O. C-double-O-L. Okay, cool. Thank you, brother. Thank you. I'll give you a raise. I don't even pay him. So I'll add another zero. Thank you. But I do. I see several people fanning. So anyway, so this is compromise, discouragement, condemnation. It all works together. It all works together. It tries to take away your passion and leaves you with apathy. This wants to take away your passion. So when you start losing passion for the things of God, here's your enemy. Because there's nothing solid about them. Nothing solid about them. Now it says this, because there's no foundation. You need to hear this. Isaiah 54, it says, from the mountain, though the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you. My covenant of peace will not be removed, says the Lord. I will lay your foundations. I will lay your foundations, and they'll be with sapphires. I looked at that, never had studied this before, but I said, I need to study this a little deeper. He's going to lay a foundation of sapphires. And do you know where sapphires are? They're on the floor. And you know where in heaven it's on the floor? In the throne room. In the throne room, the floor is, at the foundation of that floor is sapphires. He said, I'm laying your foundation. You don't have to worry about anybody else that's unsettled to lay your foundation. I'll lay your foundations. So what is he saying? Our foundation is laid with his presence. The presence of the throne room. With his presence. So your foundation is the presence of God. Okay, I love that one too, Pastor. So, all right. But that's found in Exodus chapter 24. Okay, let's move on. Amorites, pride, rebellion, boasting, bitter, unwilling to learn. Let me see how many honest people we have in this church. Have you ever been at a place where you were unwilling to learn? Raise your hand. Well, we got some good honest people today, except for this group over here. No, I'm messing with you. I didn't look at it. No, I'm messing with you. See, unwilling to learn and talkers. These are the ones that's always talking, That's an honest soul. Thank you, Lynn, for being that open and that transparent. I used to talk a lot, too. Well, you're still talking real good right now. You're just almost 50. It's almost 12. No, I used to talk. But the reason I talked a lot is because I knew a lot. Brenda said, "You think you know everything?" I said, "Mm-mm. I know everything." That was not true. I knew a whole lot till I got married. Then I realized I don't know near enough. Then I read a book about that thick that said, "Understanding the Mind of a Woman," and I said, "That's way too thin." Read it three times, and I'm still trying to understand it. What's that got to do with the message? Nothing. The talkers would be the one that was always saying something and didn't have nothing to say. Okay. Amorites, let's see. They're haughty, they're prideful, they eat up with unforgiveness, and they try to shame others. Listen, don't shame people. Don't shame your children. Don't say shame on you. Don't say you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Don't do that to your kids. God's taking care of the shame. They just need instructions, not shaming. Shame does a lot of things to people that hurts. And it's a big hole that they have to get out of because they have to fight the shame to be able to go anywhere else. Okay, let's see what the Canaanites craving for material things and status. Materialism and elitism. They want to be somebody. They want to have something. And they'll do anything that they have. They'll take what you got if it helps them. They won't ask for what you got. They'll take what you got. The Canaanites will do that, and it will gather up, and it will major on robbing people of the promise of God. It caused you to feel unworthy and caused you to feel mentally and financially broke and depressed. When God says, "I own everything and I'll supply every need that you have." Once again, it's a stronghold of materialism. The Perizzites, opened, unwalled, a roamer, a floater, uncommitted, unconnected to vision. This person has no vision, don't want you to have any. So when you get around people that have no vision for their life, watch out, because they'll try to get you to lose your vision as well. Have you ever faced that enemy? You can't do that. You won't be able to do that. You don't know enough to do that. Y'all getting this? See, this is an enemy of God. It keeps, and they're floaters. They never settle down. And do not want to be connected to a group of people called church. No, I'll go here, I'll go there, I'll go to this. Why? There's just no commitment. There's no understanding of authority, of God's authority. There's no understanding to stand under someone that has God's appointment in their life. Okay, floater, just float. I'm just floating around. I'm just roaming. That's an enemy of God. See, God has purpose, not float. God has purpose. We need to be connected to purpose, connected to that. Okay, the Hivites, to lie openly. To lie openly, self-exaltation, a false voice. This thing about lying openly is that they know you know they lied. They know that you know that they lying, but they're going to lie anyway. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Have you ever been around anybody like that? Have you ever been a person like that? See, they know you know they lying. They ain't telling the truth, and they know you know that. But they're going to lie anyway. They just lie openly, just constantly lie. Why? It benefits them. Anything that benefits them, they'll spin a yarn. For those of you that don't know what that means, they'll lie. You know, they'll lie. It'll be a false voice. Somebody said, well, you know, how do you know this guy's lying? He opens his mouth. I shouldn't have said that. But I did. Anyway. And nobody's like that. I pray to God nobody's like that. But this is an enemy constantly feeding you with untruths, try to get you to believe them so you don't go in the direction that God wants you to go. Jebusites, trodden down, to overwhelm with heaviness. Have you ever run into him? You ever run into them? Trying to make you heavy, trying to make you depressed, trying to get you down, trying to get you to the place to where I just don't feel like doing nothing. You understand what I'm saying? A put down, trodden down, heaviness, depression. See, that's an enemy of God. Why is that? Because he said, the joy, he didn't say, you know, he said, the joy of the Lord. Whose joy is it? It's the Lord's joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Okay, Jebusites. Then you run into Midianites. Contention, brawling, quarreling, and discord. Always sowing discord. Always want to argue. Always got something to gnaw on. That's an enemy of God. Well, there's no peace. Always got an argument. Always got a chip. Just daring you to knock it off. Just daring you to touch it. Because well, they're ready. They're ready for the fleshly thing that wants to come out. Quarreling, discord, sowing discord among the brethren is something that God hates. God hates anybody sowing. Well, he hates the thing of sowing discord. He hates the sowing of discord. Quarreling. Just always want to fight. Always want to argue. And then these Ammonites, inbred, only relates with their own kind. Predator spirit, harshness. Think about that for a moment. Moabites, incest, destroyer of godly heritage, an immoral conscience. You know, these two enemies were born. These are Lot's sons. His daughters planned a plan, get him drunk. We don't have husbands. Let's get our father drunk. Let's get him drunk with wine, and then you go in and have sex with him one night, and I'll go the next night. It's in the Bible. Both of them, see, inbred, incest, both of them destroys godly heritage. You want to hear something real good about this? Because that's bad to hear, but you want to hear something good about it? These are the two enemies of God that faced King Jehoshaphat. You know what happened to them? Do you know what happened to them? They fell on their own swords. They fell. They just took their own lives. Are y'all hearing me? These two spirits will bring an end to your living. But you know how they did it? Where's the dancers? Where's the dancer? The dancers, come on down here. Come on down here. Come on down here. Josaphat, the prophet said, hey, wait a minute. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. God's going to deliver you today. And he said, here's what the Lord says to do. I want you to send the dancers out first. Send the musicians out. Just send the musicians, send the dancers out. Just send them out first. Well, wait a minute. There's a whole lot more of them than there are us. I know what I said. This is what the Lord said. Go ahead and dance. I'll put you on the spot. You know why it's so easy for them to do that? Do you know why it's so easy for them to do that? No music, just you know why it's so easy? It's in them. It's worship. They're using their bodies to worship God. And you know what that's paving the way for? If you got those enemies out there that's bigger than you are, better than you are, more powerful than you are, like God said, these enemies are stronger than you and more mightier than you. He said, but you send out worshipers first. You send out the worship bunch first. Are you hearing me? See, it is our worship that will defeat these. Because once they went and they cleared the atmosphere with their worship of their God and their music of their God and to God, then the army with all of their with all they had, they come a walking up. And everybody dead. And everything's left over. And they just started picking up the spoils. Why? Because a foundation of worship of their God and a trust in their God to do what he said, even though it sounded unreasonable. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Okay, see any more ites we got? Because we need to close. Philistine. The Philistine is wallowing to roll about in self-pity. Have you ever been there? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression. Excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Whoa, gloom, despair, and agony. See, that is the wallow in the self-pity to a place that woe is me. And Brother Stephen said, you are not a victim. God has seen to it that you are not a victim. You're his child. You're a child of promise. You're children of promise. You're in the kingdom and you're finding out more about the kingdom. But I will tell you this, the Bible also says in Acts that it is through much pressure, much tribulation, that you enter into the kingdom. There's sometimes when you enter into the kingdom, you're going to enter in because it's gotten so tight. It's gotten so much pressure. When you start feeling that pressure, you start looking for the kingdom because you're about to cross over into something that you didn't know before. That's the way of God. That's the way of God. I need to close because I don't want to do this next Sunday. Okay. Children of promise. That's my last slide anyway. So here's what I want to... There's one passage that talks about that Joseph says this. He says, listen, we're going to cross over. Don't be afraid of them because they are our bread. They, the enemies, are our bread. The sustainer of life, the substance that you eat every day, they're our bread. So it's time to eat up. You understand what I'm saying? It's time to move up to what God wants us to do. Fight the ites. He said, I'm delivering them to you so you can defeat them. Okay. All right, stand up. One of the ways you can do this is in Joshua. Joshua 1:8. Meditate on the word of God day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that's written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Meditating day and night on this word. How many times we leave it there, we don't pick it up till next Sunday. Look, God wants us to get ready. God wants us to be prepared for it. Whatever's come. I can't tell you what's going to be around the corner, but I can tell you whatever it is, we'll be equipped for it. Okay. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that's written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong, be courageous, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. Okay, I don't know. There may be someone here that says, I need Jesus in my life, and I want to accept him today. I'm not a Christian. I want him in my life, and I'm ready to turn my life over to him. If that's you, come forward. If that's you, just step forward. Anybody? Amen. Amen. Well, did you get anything out of today? Are you ready for the battle? Amen. Well, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the blessings. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the music. We thank you for worship. We thank you for the worship team. We thank you for the ushers. We thank you for every person here. Let our eyes see clearly of the enemy, and may we hear from you how to defeat them. In Jesus' name. Before you go, I know there's kids out here in this nursery and all, and down there too. Honor. One way you can honor these people that don't get to be in here because they're taking care of the kids is tell them thank you. Tell them thank you. Tell them thank you often. They don't get paid for it. They don't get. Tell them thank you. Get them a card. I don't even want to say the name, but. But get them a coffee card, you know. Get them something, just a little thank you. Just say thank you. Amen? Amen. God bless you. You're for liberty together.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.